You're on Mornings with Nadia Mitsopoulos on ABC Radio Perth.
Well, all morning you have been hearing about those detainees, nearly 50 of them, who've been rioting at Banksia Hill Detention Centre. They've been up on the roof. There are some still up there at the moment. They've been lighting fires. They've been throwing things at staff. But why do they keep doing it? Now, it sounds like a simple question, but it may not have a simple answer. And this is not about making excuses. I want to be very clear to those who've immediately texted going, they're criminals, Nadi, they're criminals. Not all of them in Banksia Hill, I've got to say, convicted criminals either. This is not about being a bleeding heart, I assure you. But this is actually about trying to get to the bottom of this behaviour and understanding it so that we can prevent it in the future, which I think is what you all want to see. Let's go to Dr. Tracy Westerman. She's a clinical psychologist. She's a Ngaiyamal woman from the Pilbara. She was also 2018 WA Australian of the Year. And she is with me now. Tracy, lovely to talk to you. Good morning.
Good morning, Nadia. Good morning, listeners.
Can you just help people understand, Tracy, what it is that drives this kind of behaviour?
Yeah, sure. I guess what we know based on the evidence is that around 93% of children in prison have trauma. Now, what we also understand is that it's a very common consequence of trauma. They actually loosely refer to trauma as the angry disorder. And essentially what that means is that anyone that has trauma tends to act out. And particularly with kids, kids find it really difficult to articulate pain in a way that adults can. So what they tend to do is they tend to behaviourally show when they're in pain and when they're in trauma. So when we see things like riots, essentially you have 93% of kids in prison who have trauma. That then means that one child starts to act out. It then creates, I guess, what we refer to as a environment in which trauma responses and anger responses become modelled. And then you get what we're seeing in Banksia Hill happening now with regularity. I mean, how many more riots do we need to see before the government understand this?
So, Tracy, then why do they, what do they hope to achieve by acting out in this way? What is the point to all of this?
Yeah, I guess what we know, Nadia, is that, you know, they're in a 3x3 metre cell, right? These are little children. These are children. In 3x3 metre cell, and they're mostly there for about 20 hours a day. So I'm a pretty psychologically robust adult. If I was kept in a locked up, you know, 3x3 metre cell for 20 hours a day, I would struggle to cope. So of course, when you are a child, you have no human rights. You also have often parents that, you know, most of the time kids that are in prison have parents who come with their own issues around attachment and trauma. So you have a child who's vulnerable, and the only way you can actually get attention is to escalate your behaviour. And people who have children who are listening understand that if at little children, when they want something, whether it be they want a lolly down the shop or whatever, they will actually escalate behaviour to the point that they'll try and get a response to that. So this is a very, very childlike, you know, very common behavioural reaction. But also when you've got trauma, the main thing that you will do is you'll show trauma in a behavioural way.
So there's not necessarily then a specific trigger that might set them off, but it seems to be that constant isolation is a trigger. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. So, you know, you have kids that are acting out, and that's the thing that people are paying attention to, but often when people have trauma, they also act in. So no one's actually talking about the kids that are self-harming and the kids that are at significantly high risk of suicide here as well, that people aren't actually paying attention to because they're internalising their trauma. Externalising trauma is when kids are damaging property, when kids are acting in the way that we're seeing overnight. And so people pay attention to that. But there's actually a far greater issue here, that there are lots of kids that are actually at significant risk of self-harm, significant risk of suicide, because of the fact that they are isolated. We know that isolation is a very strong predictor of suicide and depression. And so the fact that kids are being confined and locked up and not provided with any support and interaction with people, frankly, would drive anyone, you know, a little bit batty.
Sure, I will absolutely agree with what you're saying there. But also, on the flip side, there's issues of safety, there's issues of staffing.
Yep.
That, I guess, has to be taken into account as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're actually finding here is just a failure of governments to actually invest in complex workforce support. So we have a lack of psychologists, for example, in Banksia Hill. I have personally funded an Indigenous psychology scholarship program because of the fact that we have a lack of complex interventions and prevention programs that are being funded by government. So we know, I guess, that $1.1 billion of the West Australian Corrective Services budget, $900 million of that goes into servicing prisons. It costs $500,000 a year to keep a child in prison. 94% of kids who go to prison will return by the time they turn 18. So if you want to just purely have a pure economic argument here, I can mount that argument. Essentially what that means, Nadia, is that if you invested that money into prevention, you would only need a 6% success rate to justify that $500,000 a year. But for some reason, the government continue to have a love affair with prison. And we know that prison does not actually reduce the kinds of behaviours that we're seeing overnight. All the science supports that.
And when you talk about funding and investment, the reality is, Dr. Tracy Westerman, there's no votes in prisons.
Yeah, I mean, there kind of is. I mean, you know, what we're seeing, I guess, is that we're seeing, again, you know, the constantness of money being invested in building more prisons. When you look at somewhere like Aroban, for example, that has a very high Indigenous population, it has its own maximum security prison. Now, something that's actually that people probably need to pay some attention to is the fact that we have no data, literally no data on what kids are in prison for. Ultimately, those kids are being put in prison because they're being charged with something by police. They haven't been convicted of a crime. 87% of kids in prison are on remand. 50% of those are ultimately not convicted of a crime. So essentially what we're doing is we're using prisons as hostels. Now, what we're doing is we actually have this idea that kids in prison are having a great old time and that they're enjoying themselves. But what we're actually doing is we're actually ensuring a future pathway to hardened criminals. And the science actually supports that.
Clinical psychologist Dr. Tracy Westerman is my guest this morning. We know that some kids with FASD have trouble regulating their emotions. Is that a factor here? We hear a lot about FASD in that facility.
I mean, certainly, you know, fetal alcohol syndrome affects Indigenous and non-Indigenous populations equally. We know that kids with fetal alcohol syndrome have impulse control issues, which means that they lack the ability to regulate their thoughts, behaviours and emotions, and so they are more likely to be highly reactive. However, trauma is actually as significant an issue as FASD or even more so. But the fact is, though, the government simply do not assess children at the point of when they go into a prison environment, they do not assess them. So if you're not assessing them, you cannot treat them, you cannot prevent any of the things that we're seeing. So if they just assess kids for risk, then they'd be able to treat the trauma rather than punish it.
And do that right at the beginning.
Rather than punishment.
Correct. Do that standard practice right at the beginning.
100%. This is what I do as bread and butter. I actually know that once you actually assess, all roads lead to assessment. If you assess kids or anyone accurately in terms of what the causal issues are around what we're seeing, you know, with the riots overnight, then you have the best opportunity of preventing the sorts of things we're seeing. So the fact that they don't even do a basic trauma assessment, a basic suicide risk assessment, these are little children, these are 10-year-old kids here that we're talking about, that we're not even doing the basics around in terms of trying to prevent the pain that, you know, children are actually experiencing in prison, in their homes. You know, it's something very fundamental, very simple that can easily be corrected.
A couple more questions, Dr. Tracy Westerman.
Sure.
How do we start to address this? What needs to change? And just yesterday, I was actually speaking to former Perth Wildcats champion Greg Heyer, who is bringing in his program and engaging these kids on the basketball court. And we're hearing a lot about therapeutic approach. I just wonder. There's no magic bullet, but I don't know. How do we start addressing this? What needs to change immediately?
The kind of is, Nadia. I mean, if you have basic levels of funding, simple ideas lead to simple solutions. So, you know, I've spent 23 years being pretty good in terms of complex trauma and complex attachment. So what we know is that people who end up in, you know, riots and in prison and so forth lack the ability, what we refer to as ability to self-soothe and calm themselves down. So someone, you know, for example, kids that get triggered will escalate, go from 0 to 1,000 pretty quickly and not be able to moderate that emotion and step outside of emotion and access higher level thinking. And so what we do is we're actually very good at teaching kids things called distress tolerance skills. were actually then very good at teaching parents who obviously trauma feeds trauma. So kids who become traumatised often have parents who have trauma. So you teach that in high-risk family environments, and then what happens is the parents are able to reinforce those skills and we don't end up with intergenerationally incarcerated, which is what we're seeing, intergenerationally incarcerated families that make up most of the crime statistics. So, you know, the answers are pretty simple if you actually engage with the correct subject matter expertise, but sadly we just don't. We're just continuing to fund really basic services. We're not funding prevention and early intervention at all.
So what do you say then? Finally, Dr. Westerman, to people like Kay, yeah, who says behave like animals, get treated like animals. Peter, how do we protect our communities if dangerous and violent criminals can't be locked away from us? What do you say to people like that?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, when emotions are really heightened, you defer to the best available science. And the best available science tells us that it's really easy to lock someone up. It's much harder to prevent it. I've yet to seen, in 23 years as a psychologist, I've yet to seen someone come out from prison psychologically, emotionally, in terms of contribution to society, better off as a direct result of that prison sentence. But I've seen significant improvements and significant changes in human behaviour based on giving people the opportunities to address the sorts of things that lead them to be in prison in the first place. So, yeah, we can keep locking people up, but we'll continue to have these conversations again and again and again unless we invest in some actual prevention programs.
I really appreciate your time, Dr. Tracy Westerman. Thank you.
No problem.
She's a clinical psychologist, also 2018 WA Australian of the Year. This text just comes through. Nadia, Dr. Westerman did an extraordinary thing. She made me change my mind. I now have a better understanding and more sympathy for incarcerated youth.